sharing the blessings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is so good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. A very, very special welcome to all of you who are visitors. And we know that some of our folks here are from overseas and some are from interstate. May the Lord be with you in a very special way. And we pray that His blessings may be upon you, and we pray that at the conclusion of the worship service, you may also be able to say along with us, that it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. A very special welcome to you, and after the worship service, we would really very much like to meet up with you, so please stay behind and have a cup of coffee with us. Now this morning, I want to speak on this subject, send out thy light and thy truth. The light here refers to spiritual understanding. Lord, give me spiritual understanding of your truth. Send your truth to me and give me spiritual understanding of your truth. And that is what is meant by, oh, send out thy light and thy truth. And I speak from Psalms 42 and 43. Now it is understood or believed that these two Psalms, Psalms 42 and 43, were probably one psalm originally. These two psalms were, some people or many people believe that they were written by the great King David. And the two psalms, as you see, were addressed to the choir master, right, the chief musician or the choir master. And they are a maskil. A maskil is simply means instruction. So they were written to instruct people. So these two psalms were written to the chief musician or the choir master for the sons of Korah. In other words, written for the sons of Korah to sing. Now the sons of Korah were musicians. They were serving God in the temple as singers in the temple. And they were all descendants of Levi. And they served in this temple, and their musical ministry was handed down from generation to generation. They sang psalms. Now, what are psalms? Psalms actually means songs, simply songs. Now, we know in this day and age, there are many genres of music, genres of songs. We could have, for example, in the pop music world, we have got pop music. We have rhythm and blues, and then we have other things like ballads, and we have, what else? Country and Western, yes, and we have got disco music also. Now, there is one genre of music known as blues, and people believe that the blues were originated by the blacks in America. And the blues, to me, they sound very, very mournful, and they sound very depressing. When you listen to the blues, you feel quite depressed because the tunes usually are quite mournful. And that is as far as I'm concerned. I mean, personally, that's how most of the blues will affect me if I were to listen to them. But here in the book of Psalms, in Psalms 42 and 43, we have a blues, all right, a blues. Now, the difference between the blues recorded here and the blues that we listen today is that the blues that are sung today or written today are such that the singers of these blues and the writers of these blues could very well remain depressed after they have sung them or after they have written them. Whereas the blues here in Psalms 42 and 43 end up with hope, with confidence, with joy in the Lord. So if you turn with me to Psalm 43 and you look at verses 3 and 4, you see what the psalmist says here in Psalm 43, verses 3 and 4. The psalmist says, oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Right? Give me spiritual understanding of your truth. Send me your truth, O Lord, and give me spiritual understanding of your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. You see, the blues ends with hope, with confidence in the one true living God. The psalmist was looking forward to the joy that he was going to experience when God answers his prayers. Now then you notice that in this two psalms, Psalms 42 and 43, as we said, they probably were just one psalm originally. There is a refrain. A refrain is like a chorus. You understand? When we sing our hymns, there's the one part that is called the refrain or the chorus. Now, the refrain here is repeated three times. In Psalm 42, verse 5, we read, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God." You see an expression of hope at the conclusion of one part of the psalm. "For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." I'll praise him for his help. I praise him for his salvation. I praise him for his special favor that he shows to me. I will praise him for his face that will be smiling upon me. And then you look at verse 11 in Psalm 42. It is almost a repetition of verse 5, right? Almost the same. And if you look at Psalm 43 and verse 5, you see the repetition, all right? Now, this is called a refrain. And the refrain is an expression of hope and of confidence in the one true living God. Now, the question is this. Was the psalmist depressed? Now, today, actually, I want to talk about depression and how we are able to get out of depression. And was the psalmist depressed? The answer is yes, he was. Now, do we not get depressed sometimes? I dare say that most of us do get depressed sometimes to different degrees. All right, some people get more depressed and over a more extended period than other people. But now and then, we do feel depressed. Most mornings, as true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we wake up very chirpy, right? We feel very happy, feel chirpy as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what would we say? Probably we'll say, "Good morning, Lord." True? Maybe we do that. But then there are some mornings we just don't feel like waking up. You know, we think of the day ahead of us. We say, "It's going to be a rotten day ahead of me. It's going to be a tough day for me. I don't feel like waking up." And then when you open your eyes, you just say, "Good Lord, it is morning." And it's not "Good morning, Lord," but "Good Lord, it is morning." But friends, let me say this to you. The two words, "Good Lord," are not good words for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to use. It's "Good Lord, it is morning." Those words are actually representative of our using the name of the Lord in vain. Because when we say, "Good Lord, it is morning," we are actually expressing a feeling of regret. "Good Lord, it is morning." So we should never use these two words, "Good Lord," because these two words are not words for praising the Lord, but they are words of regret. And if we are using them, we are taking the name of the Lord in vain. Now, do Christians get depressed? The answer is yes. Many Christians get depressed. We Christians are not exempt from depression. Now, even great servants of the Lord can get depressed. For example, in the Word of God, we have the case of Elijah, who got depressed. Remember that? He, after his great fight against the false prophets of Baal, he ran from Mount Carmel, from Jezreel, down to the city called Beersheba, and from there he went on another day's journey. And he became very, very tired and very, very depressed because he was running away from Queen Jezebel, and he felt that he was a failure, and he was very depressed. So what I'm trying to tell you is that Christians, believers, do get depressed. Even the great C.H. Spurgeon. Now listen to what he says. He says this, "Although my joy is greater than most men." I'm quoting C.H. Spurgeon. This is his testimony. "Although my joy is greater than most men, my depression is such that as few can have an idea of. This week has been in some respects the crowning week of my life." In other words, he did something very wonderful. He said, "It was a crowning week in my life. But it closed with a horror of great darkness, of which I will say no more than this. I bless God that at my worst, underneath me, I found the everlasting arms." In other words, he felt so depressed. It was total darkness, as it were, to him. So depressed. And he said, "I just don't want to talk about it. But I thank God that in the moments of my depression, I sense that underneath me are the everlasting arms of the one true living God." Now, it was probable that the the great King David wrote this psalm. Probable. And it was very probable that he wrote this psalm when he was driven into exile by his son Absalom, who wanted to usurp his throne and who wanted to kill him. And then another thing that saddened him very, very much was the deprivation that he was experiencing. He was deprived of the wonderful privilege of going into the house of the Lord to worship him. You look at verse 4. This is an expression of, he thought of some good things, but at the same time, he was deprived of this very good thing that he was thinking of. Look at verse 4. It says, Psalm 42, verse 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. This is all spoken in the past tense. All right, he was thinking about the good experience that he had in time past. He said, for I had gone with the multitude, with the crowd. I went with them to the house of God with the joy, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. He was thinking of the wonderful time that he had, and now he was deprived of that. That was quite sad, a feeling that he had. Now, what do people do when they get depressed? What do you think they do? I think the first thing that they get when they are depressed, when they want to get out of their depression, is to pop some antidepressant pills. Am I right? I think that's what they will do. They see a doctor, get some antidepressant pills. And then if they can afford it, they think that their problem is worse than some short period of depression. They say, I better go and see a psychiatrist or see a psychologist. But friends, the psalmist here has the answer to how we may be able to get out of our depression. Yes, he traces three steps or three stages. And at the end of each stage, it is always an expression of hope. There is that refrain. He says, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Hope thou in God. So he never ends in despair. It was always this, with hope. Hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. Great hope in God. Now, let's look at the three stages that he talks about. Stage number one. He says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? As a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee. Now here's a beautifully drawn picture of his great longing for the one true living God, his great desire for God. He pictures himself as a hart. A hart is a wild deer. He pictures himself as a wild hart running away, as it were, from his predator, running and running until it becomes very, very thirsty. The hart is literally dying of thirst. That's how the psalmist thirsts for the one true living God. He wants to come before God. He says, when shall I come and appear before God? He wants to come before God. Yes, but when? There appears to be a delay in his coming into the presence of the one true living God. I suppose he was talking about the tabernacle of God, coming into the house of the Lord to worship the Lord, to have fellowship with the Lord. That was what he was thinking of. Yes, he wants to appear before the Lord. When? Now there seems to be a delay in his ability to come into the house of the Lord, to worship the Lord. The Lord seems to be delaying his answer to his prayer. Now, when we are in trouble and when we pray, when God answers our prayer, of course, our joy is almost restored immediately. But sometimes, the Lord seems to be holding back his answer from us. There seems to be a delay. But friends, let us understand that there is a good purpose for his doing so. You see, God treasures our faith. Our faith is of great value to him. He wants to try our faith so that during the periods of trials and tribulations, our faith will be, as it were, subject to fire. And then he wants to try our faith so that our faith will come forth as pure gold. That's what he wants to do. And then you look at verse 3 and verse 4. My tears have been my meat day and night. while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? And verse 4, When I remember these things, I poured out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a joy, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Now, David's problems, humanly speaking, were probably insurmountable. You see, David came to a stage where he couldn't sleep. He cried day and night. He says this, My tears have been my meat day and night. You know what is meant by my tears have been my meat day and night? You see, when you are in a state of depression, chances are you will not be able to eat. You have no appetite at all. So what will your meat be? What will you be feeding on? You'll be actually feeding on your tears because you'll be crying in a very, very uncontrollable manner. I still remember there was this friend of mine many years ago when I was a teenager. This man was actually a friend who is, he was very much older than I was. He was very kind to me. He taught me how to play the guitar, actually. Then there was one afternoon, I remember, I wanted to get one more lesson from him, and I went to his house. I looked through his window, and I saw a very, very pathetic figure, my friend. He was walking round and round his living room, and he was sobbing away, crying away, uncontrollably. Yes. Then I can't remember whether I called out to him or not, but I just went away from his house. Then I didn't see him for months, and then for maybe a couple of years or so. Later, I learned that he was actually sick in the mind. That's why he was in that state. Yes, he probably was very, very depressed, to the extent that, what was his food? Tears were his food. That's why he was going round and round in the living room of his house and was sobbing away. And now, in the case of David, his problem is compounded by what? Compounded by discouraging remarks made by people to him. They said to him, Where is your God? David, where is your God? Isn't your God supposed to protect you? Isn't he supposed the one to take care of you, to provide you, to defend you? But where is your God? Now, David had this experience of people taunting him. And of course, the one that taunted him most would be Satan. Yes. And I think sometimes the people who taunt us most and who hurt us most, you know who? Our very loved ones. Yes. Those who are unbelievers or do not share the kind of faith that we have, they taunt us, Where's your God? He's supposed to take care of you. He's supposed to preserve you. How come you are in this state? Maybe your God is not true. Why do you still want to continue to believe in him? David, of course, doesn't give up. Now look at the step he takes. He says in verse 4, When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. Remember, he was thinking about things that took place in the past, the joyful time that he had. So he said, For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of my joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. He remembers the joyous time that he had, going into the house of the Lord with the crowd, with the multitude, to worship the one true living God, to celebrate and to praise the one true living God. Now, did David in that, during those times, think of the bad times that he had? No, he thought of the good times that he had. Yes. He thought of the blessings that he received from the one true living God. And that is exactly what we must do. During the times when we are down, or when we are downhearted, let's not think on the bad things, but think of the good things. Think of the times when God answered our prayers in the most marvelous way. Now, if you are depressed, and you keep on remembering the sad and depressing things that took place in your past, how are you going to feel? I can tell you are going to feel even more depressed. Isn't it true? If you keep on thinking of the bad things. But that was not with David. He thought of the wonderful things that took place in time past. But you know, there are people who are very fond of dwelling on things that are bad or things that were bad that occurred to them in the past of their life. Yes, they will think of the time when they failed the exams, for example. Or they would think of the time when the house was burgled. Or they would think of the time when the car was very badly dented. or they will think of the time when they missed the opportunity of buying a house. And then they are full of regrets. And they say, oh, we should have done this or we should have done that. If we had done this, you know, such a thing would never happen. And so forth. I thank God that I met this wonderful friend, this missionary friend of ours, Reverend Dan Ebert. In those days, when he came to Singapore, he would stay with us. And one day, he gave me this wonderful advice. He said this to me. He said, one of the most depressing things to say is, we should have done this. Isn't it very true? We should have done this. He said, this is one of the most depressing things to say. You have already done that. Let it be water under the bridge and go on to something else. If you have a problem to solve, solve it. You keep on regretting and regretting. You're not going to solve your problem. Instead, you're going to make yourself very depressed. We should have done this or we should have done that. Now, David's thoughts instead went back to the very happy times that he experienced with God's blessing him. He was able to go into the house of the Lord to worship the Lord and to celebrate in the house of the Lord. Now, it is very, very important that when we are down to think of the great blessings that God has showered upon us in time past. He has remembered the good things, the great things that he had done for us in our life. Thank the Lord for those good things, and we will cheer ourselves up. There was this servant of the Lord by the name of Ed Murphy. Ed Murphy came from a very staunch Roman Catholic background in New England. He never met a Protestant Christian until he was age 14. And he, in his mind, because he came from a staunch Roman Catholic background, he always thought of a Protestant Christian as one who had horns growing up through his through his head. Yes, and then he went to camp, a lumber camp, and there he met this a Christian. A Christian, a young boy like him as he was. Now this boy shared the gospel with him and gave him a New Testament. And he read it. And he was soundly converted. Then some years later, he heard the call of God and he wanted to become a minister of the gospel. He approached his mother, who obviously was a very staunch Catholic, and said, Mom, I'm going to join a Bible college. God has called me to serve him full time. Mom was very angry with him and said, Ed, if you ever enroll in a Bible college, you will never set foot in this house again. But Ed heard the call of God and he decided to enroll into the Bible college. And he went to Bible school. In the first year of his Bible school, he worked very, very hard. He took a part-time job to help him fund pay his school fees. But at the end of the year, he found that he ran short of funds. He owed the Bible college $60. I think this must have been some time ago. He owed the college $60, and that was a huge sum of money, I think, in those days. And then he had to leave the college because he owed the college $60 and he could not sit for his exams. So he decided to pack up to go home. And then he called his mother and said, Mom, would you lend me $60? Actually, he appealed to the mother to lend him $60 and told the mother that if she were to lend him the $60, then when he had the money, he would pay her immediately. Yes, that's what he said. And then Mom wrote back and said, Ed, you forgot what I told you. I said to you that if you left home and you decided to join the Bible college, then you would never set foot into this house again. Now, you are in a terrible plight. You believe in your God. But where is your God now? You see the taunting? But where is your God now? Isn't he supposed to be able to help you during this time of your plight? So as I said, Ed came to the part where he was supposed to sit for his exams, but he could not sit, he had to leave the college. So that morning he packed up, and then in the meantime, mother had written to him and said this to him, Ed, I'm coming to LA, Los Angeles, the next weekend. Now I want you to meet me there, and then you come home with me. All right. So Ed went to pray, and as I said, God didn't seem to answer his prayer. It was time for him to sit for his exams. He could not, and he had to leave. Then as he was walking through the door, he met the dean of the college. The dean of the college then said to him, Ed, you're supposed to be owing the college $60, right? I said, yes, I owe the college $60. He said, I have a slip of paper here that says that you now have $40 to your credit. Somebody had anonymously put in $100 into your account. I said, oh, it must be a mistake. It must be a mistake. The dean said, no, it's not a mistake. Yes. And then Ed was full of praises to the one true living God. And then he sat for his exams, and then he went to LA to meet his mother. And when his mother met him, the mother said this to him, so, son, you're coming back with me, right? Ed said, no, mother, I'm not going to come back with you because God has provided for me. He supplied $100, and now I have $40 extra in my account. His mother didn't say a word, rose up from her seat, and then walked out. 2 weeks later, Ed received a letter from mother. Ed, I want to know your kind of God. That was what she said. I want to know your kind of God. Ed said that as of that day, every time he went into trouble, every time he was depressed, he would think of this very, very happy incident that took place in his life. God answered his prayers. Yes, and when the mother taunted him, where is your God? Of course, he felt very, very hurt at that time. But he remembered that incident, how good God was to him. Friends, that's exactly what we must do. When we are we're feeling low or depressed, let's think of the happy times, the times when God answered our prayers. And that is exactly what David does here. He remembers the great time when the Lord blessed him and grants him great blessings. Now, to encourage ourselves, we must exercise that discipline of remembering the great times when the Lord blessed us with his blessings through his answering of our prayers. But David's trial was not over yet. His remembrance of those happy incidents in which he thought of the and tasted of the goodness of the Lord doesn't seem to work. And so he does something else. Look at verse 6. All right, look at verse 6. He does something else. So verse 6 says, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime and in the night. His song shall be with me and my prayer unto the God of my life. Yes, he remember what took place in this place called, he remembers what took place in this place called the hill of Mizar. And now let's talk about the second stage. We talk about stage one, right? He remember about the good things in time past, the blessings that God showered upon him. Now, let's go on to the stage two that he talks about, he wants us to know. Stage two is that we must remember that the love of God is unfailing. You see, David remembers the time when he was at this place called the hill of Mizar. Now, Mizar is located in the north of Israel. It is actually at the head of the river Jordan, very close to Mount Hermon. And there, David, all right, we read this in this Psalm, verse 7, okay? He was at the hill of Mizar, and then verse 7 says, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Deep calleth unto deep. So he was at this place called Mizar, and then at this place called Mizar, he heard the sounds of the waterfalls and the cataracts, the sounds of the waterfalls and cataracts, and the cascading of these waterfalls and cataracts seemed to sound to him as if the waterfalls and cataracts were talking to one another. Deep calleth unto deep. As if they were talking to one another, deep calleth unto deep. And indeed, things in nature very often seem to be communicating one with another. Now, for example, the moon's orbiting around the sun seems to be talking to the water in the ocean to cause the tides to rise and the tides to ebb, right? And then we have the sun and the rain that seem to be talking to the seeds and to the plants that are in the ground. The seeds spoken by the sun, spoken to by the sun and the rain would germinate. The plants would grow. And then what about these animals and birds when they migrate? Why do they migrate? They possibly heard the call that comes from a long distance. Nature speaking to nation, deep callers unto deep, and the birds and the animals migrate. So as the psalmist thinks of these deeps calling unto deeps, from waterfalls to waterfalls, he thinks of God's calling him, speaking up from the depth of his heart to the depth of David's heart. It is as if God is speaking to him. It is as if God is commanding his loving kindness to be upon David. And so he says in verse 8, "Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, in the night, his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life." It is as if God is commanding his loving kindness to be upon David, and commanding his songs, the songs of God, for David to sing praises unto the Lord. It is as if God is calling God the David from the depth of his heart to the depth of David's heart to ask David to pray unto him. Yes. In moments of trust, my dear friends, when we are very, very downhearted, we surely can pray from the depths of our heart to the one true living God. And sometimes when we pray, nothing seems to happen, or very often nothing seems to happen. Yes, we might still continue to feel very downhearted. But remember this, God continues to love us. His love is unfailing. Remember this, he commands his loving kindness to be upon us. He commands his songs to be with us so that we may be able to sing praises unto him. Remember, friends, his love is unfailing. From the depth of his heart, he continues to command his loving kindness and his joy to be bestowed upon us. So let us never give up praying, my dear friends, when we are in the depths of our depression. Whatever feelings that we may have, do not change the fact that our God is the prayer-answering God, that his love is unfailing, that he is faithful and able to answer our prayers, just as he is faithful in causing the moons orbiting around the earth to speak to the waters of the ocean to cause the tides to rise and to fall. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. Well, but David's problems are not resolved yet. He's still he's still as depressed as ever. And verse 9 and verse 10, look. "I will say unto my God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say daily unto me, where is thy God?" Verse 9 says that he feels as if he is forgotten by the one true living God. You know, to be forgotten is quite depressing. I think this is the feeling that many old folks have. They feel depressed because they feel that they have been forgotten, neglected by their loved ones. And they can feel very depressed about that. Now, let's say if you are in the office working, and for years you've been working very, very hard, then all your colleagues around you have been promoted one after another, but you are left behind. It appears that you have been forgotten by your bosses. Isn't it very demoralizing? Isn't it very discouraging? It is demoralizing and very, very discouraging. Yes, you can feel very, very depressed by the fact that you seem to be forgotten by your bosses. Then you think of your child. You left your child at the play center, and then you go off to do your shopping, but you spend an extra hour shopping, but you've forgotten about your child in the play center. And when you come back to the play center to collect your child, will you be very, very surprised that your child is weeping his heart out, bawling away? Would you be surprised? No. You would not be surprised at all. Yes. And then I think what you would do is you would try to apologize to your son. Your son might be too young to express himself, but if he's able to express himself, he's going to say this to you: "Mom, you forgot me. I thought you were not going to come back to get me." Isn't it true? Yes, it's very, very frightening for a child to be in that state, to feel forgotten by mommy. Do you not feel helpless, friends? Do you not feel hopeless? If you feel like what the psalmist does, he feels as if God has forgotten him. And so he says in verse 9, "And I will say unto my God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me, God? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" And what is worse, as we said earlier on, the psalmist is being taunted by his enemies. Verse 10, "As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say daily unto me, where is thy God?" Yes, Satan is our greatest enemy. When we are down and when we are depressed, my dear friends, his discouragement will come upon us like a sword cutting deep into our bones. Yes, he wants us to give up our God. And so he says to us, "Where is your God?" He whispers into our ears, "Where is your God? If your God is true, your God is really alive, your God is all-powerful, then you shouldn't be in this plight. So stop believing in him." That's what he wants you to do. Now, in the case of Job, it was worse for him, right? When Job was stricken with affliction, who was the one who taunted him? Who? His wife. Yes, in Job 2, verse 9, "Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Do you still want to maintain your confidence in the one true living God? Do you still want to trust in him? Curse God and die." That's what his wife urged him to do. Surely Job's wife was used by Satan to say those words to Job. But David is not one to give up on God. No, his hope is still in God. So he says in verse 11, all right, Psalm 42, 11, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." I will still hope in my God. Yes, I know that there will come a time when I will praise him, because he is the health of my countenance. Yes, but David still has not found the solution to his problem. He is still as depressed as ever. So we go on to Psalm 43, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" David's problems are problems we might face in life. He was deceived by whom? Deceived by ungodly people and unjust men. He was betrayed by people whom he trusted. And of course, he trusted in his own son. Yes, he trusted his own son, Absalom. But the son was the one who deceived him. The son was the one who betrayed him. He wanted to usurp his throne and he wanted to kill him. My dear friends, surely it is the most depressing thought to have. If we are cheated and deceived by people whom we love and whom we trust. Now, David has reached a point where he is desperately in need of help. So he says in verse 2, "For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" Now, where and what is David's help? Now, that's the third stage that we want to come to. All right? Now, and this is where he finds his real solution. Read verses 3 and 4. All right, let's read these two verses together. Let's read them. Go. "Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, who unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God." Now, God is driving him to his ultimate help. What do you think is David's ultimate help? "Oh, send out thy light and thy truth." It is the word of God that is his ultimate help. God is driving him to the truth, which is the word of God. God is driving him to pray this prayer. "Lord, give me understanding. Give me spiritual understanding of your truth and help me trust in your truth." Yes. Now, God's word indeed is David's ultimate refuge. And that is where he finds help in. Now, I told you this story before. I think, several times. But I think it's worth telling you this story again, because it is a true story, and it's a story of a very, very great testimony. I tell you because I want to encourage you so that when you are ever depressed, you know where the solution is. I refer to my friend, who was my colleague many years ago. He was promoted into a job which he could not manage. He was sent overseas to do overseas posting. He could not manage the job, and he suffered a terrible nervous breakdown. And so we brought him back to the office, and we gave him a lower job, and we kept him for 2 years. The company was very kind to him. The company didn't reduce his pay, kept him for another 2 years. And but he was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he tried to seek help from friends, and I tried to help him also. I tried to counsel him, but to no avail. And his depression was so terribly bad that one day he actually wanted to commit suicide. He wanted to jump down from his 24th story in Singapore, but he was held back. Then he decided, or somebody advised him, to see our very, very senior pastor, the late Reverend Timothy Toh. So he went to see Reverend Toh. And what was Reverend Toh's counsel to him? Reverend Toh's counsel was this very counsel that we want to talk about today, and that is to direct him back to the Word of God. Reverend Toh told him this: you read the Psalms, Psalm 1 to Psalm 150. When you have read the 150 Psalms, you go back to Psalm 1 again. You keep on reading and reading. And this brother read Psalms 1 to 150, he kept on reading and reading. One day it occurred to him that he was well. He really was well. And so he went to see Reverend Toh and said, "Reverend Toh, I want to give my testimony. I want to share with people my joy and the power of my God and my Savior." He did exactly what the psalmist does here. The psalmist says, "Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto my God, my exceeding joy. Here upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God." His intention was to praise the Lord. David's intention was to praise the Lord. And that was exactly what my friend did. He wanted to praise the Lord. He wanted to share his testimony. And so he shared his testimony. Now, there's a very good ending, wonderful ending to this story. My company heard that this brother had recovered, and invited him to join our company again. And when he came back, the company actually gave him another job, an overseas assignment again. And this one was a tougher assignment than the first one. Now, you would expect him to break down, right? No, he did not. He performed very well, and I was told that in one of the years, he was one of the star managers abroad. So friends, where is our help when we are depressed? God's word. We must pray like the psalmist prayed. O Lord, send out thy light and thy truth. We need that spiritual understanding of your word. Show us your truth. Give us your word. Show us your word. Give us your truth. And give me spiritual understanding of your truth. And the psalmist says this very truly in Psalm 107, verse 19. All right, I'd like us to turn to this verse. Psalm 107, verse 19. Psalm 10, verse 19. Okay, I read for you these two verses. Psalm 107, 19. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word. Notice that. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent his word and healed them. You see, if we are in a depressed state, the best thing for us to do is read God's word. Yes, read the Psalms. The Psalms are so comforting, so encouraging. Yes, learn from this wonderful experience that this friend of mine went through. So what do we do when we are depressed? Seek medical help. Of course, if there is a need for us to seek medical help, we must seek medical help. But the first thing that we ought to do is to do like what the psalmist did. The psalmist remembered the faithfulness of God. He thought of the great blessings that the Lord bestowed upon him in time past. And by so remembering the great experiences that he had, he was very encouraged. But that didn't really solve his problem. Then next, he remembered that his experience at this place called the Hill of Mitzah, and he heard the deep speaking unto the deep. Yes, he remembered this truth, that this God of his is the unfailing God, the God with unfailing love, the God who commands his loving kindness to be upon David, the God who commands his songs to be with David, so that David could sing praises unto him. He's the God who calls David to pray unto him, from the depth of David's heart, to pray unto the one true living God. This God is the unfailing God. Yes, and so David prayed unto this God. And finally, let us not forget to pray this prayer. Very, very needful for us to do so. Oh, send up thy light and thy truth. Yes, let us pray that we will, by the grace of God, go back to the Word of God. And when we go back to the Word of God, we will surely be lifted up out of our gloom. The psalmist says in verses 4 and 5, all right, in Psalm 42, then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. But friends, if you want to be able to pray this prayer, you must know the truth, all right, the Word. Now, when we talk about the Word of God, there is the written Word of God and there is the living Word. The written Word of God is, of course, the Word that is in the Word of God here, the Bible. But the living Word is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is also the truth. Yes, he's the truth. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He's the living Word. But you must know the living Word so that when you pray, your prayers will be effectual before the one true living God. And how may you know this living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ? The only way for you to know him is to come and trust in him as Lord and Savior. Realize that you are a sinner destined for hell. Pray unto him for salvation. Ask him to come into your heart. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. And the thing of his precious blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary for you. Believe in him, trust in him, and repent from your sins. Believe that he's alive today. Call upon him to save you, and he will save you. And when you belong to him, then you are eligible to pray this prayer. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth when you are in trouble. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your kindness. Oh, Lord God, we thank you that you are the prayer-answering God. Lord, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God that David believed in is the same God that we are believing in today. And Father, we know that your love for us is unfailing. We pray that you will teach us always to remember that you truly love us, that in the depths of our sadness or downheartedness or depression, we may remember that you are so good and so kind and that you truly love us. And Father, we pray that we may also exercise the discipline of remembering the good times that you gave to us, the times when you answered our prayers. And Lord, we pray that we will all never forget to pray this prayer unto you, to be lifted up of the sadness that we are in or the depression that we are in. And that is to pray this prayer to you. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.